Good afternoon. It's already past 12 o'clock. All right, I'm so glad to be here once again. See a lot of familiar faces. I trust the Lord is keeping all of you well. Amen. Well, that was wonderful worship. And it's always good to be worshiping the Lord, isn't it? You know, the psalmist says that God is good work, you know. So all of us have just done some good work today. Amen. Amen. And the Lord is good, and He always has good things for us. And so today, I'm here to bring good news too. Amen. Today I want to talk about being free in the fire. Being free in the fire. That's the title of the sermon. It's very interesting. When I, right from the start of the service, I look at the scripture verses that you have it up there from Psalm 91 about God being our refuge. And it says that no harm shall befall you, no disaster shall come near your tent. And then the worship songs that we were singing this morning talks about the fire of God, calling for the fire to come down. Okay, there are two types of fire, which we will go into the message and you will know. Alright? But I want us to first look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 8.
It does try to come back. And the word will be...
Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Today I want us to know that we can rejoice with joy inexpressible. Another version says that it is joy unspeakable. So joyful, so much joy you could not express it. And we can have this kind of joy inexpressible even in your most trying times. Amen? We are people who have been set apart by God for Him. And we can have this joy that's unspeakable, inexpressible, and glory, even as you go through the fire. That is God's promise to us. Amen? And this joy is such an important element. It's such an important substance that God has given to us. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you need strength to stand when you are going through trying times. Amen? And one of the things that the enemy will try to steal from us is joy. Because without joy, you will not be able to stand. Even as God, all we need is to stand. And God is working in our situation. He's working in our lives. But we need to stand in faith and wait upon the Lord.
You use the fire. Amen. To burn away the things that kept us in.
And so the enemy tries to steal your joy.
Father God,
without joy, you lose hope. Without hope, your faith cannot work. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You need to have hope for your faith to be working.
And you will and you are delivering.
And so today we want to talk about how we can have this joy unspeakable. How we can have this joy inexpressible and full of glory when we are going through. Peter said in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. These are the testings. And it's not just talking about one testing. Some of us may be experiencing many testings. Some of you here may be going through not only one difficult trial, but various trials. Things can be coming to you in all directions. Just when you thought one thing is bad enough, you have another issue. Some of us find ourselves in that situation. But you know, there is a few words in this verse that is very comforting. He says that it's only for a little while.
The whole universe. He is also the God who
is only for a little while.
Even you who do not know the Lord Jesus.
Amen. And some of us, when we are going through trials, we begin to question, have I missed God? What's wrong? You know? Is there some sin in my life that is so bad? Have I done something really bad? Did I miss God? What did I do wrong? And we try to find answers.
You don't have to go.
I want to tell you that
suffering, you can also have.
It is normal. Normal for you to question that, as well as it is normal for us to have testings in life. Everybody go through trials. There may be nothing wrong with you at all. Amen. There may be nothing wrong with you at all.
Would you receive the Lord Jesus?
God has not left you. If you are going through a trial now,
would you receive the Lord?
I want to let you know, I'm here to tell you, God is still with you. He has not left you. He has not stopped loving you. You have not fallen out of His favor. He still loves you. As much as before, He loved you to the max. Amen. And we will see in a moment that God is here with us even in our trial. And when you go through the trials, when you go through the trials are there to test your faith.
Dear God,
your faith is being tested, and while gold will perish, the faith that God gives us is His kind of faith. When you become a believer, you are a measure of His faith. It is the God kind of faith that you have received when you are born again. And this faith that God gave to us does not perish, unlike the gold. Amen? It will not perish. It will hold you up. And once it has gone through the fire, it will be purified, and it shall be found to praise to the glory of our God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Peter, just in verse 8, he talks about Jesus, whom having not seen, you love. Now he's writing to those people who has not seen Jesus. Some of us, there are some people who have actually seen Jesus. Peter is one of them. He was with Him. But a lot of us have not seen Jesus, although some of you here, you might have seen Jesus. I remember the late Brother Hagen, he has seen Jesus. He has talked to Him. Jesus visited him. But this is not a common thing. It's not a common thing. Alright? But for Peter, who wrote this epistle, he has seen Jesus. He was with Jesus during Jesus' ministry on earth. When he was on those shores, you know, Peter saw Jesus, was fishing when Jesus came to him and looked at him in the eye and he said, "Follow me." And just two words from the Lord, Peter left everything and followed Jesus. He left his work, his father's business, he dropped everything and followed Jesus. On the shore, he saw Jesus, a man. And then, in the little girl's room, in Mark chapter 5, remember, Jesus went to Jairus' house to raise his daughter, who has just died. Well, Peter was with Jesus in that room. He saw what it looked like in that little girl's room, and everyone else was outside, but Peter has the privilege to be with Jesus in that very room, and he witnessed Jesus speaking to the girl, and he saw life going inside the girl, and the girl was raised to life. He witnessed that. Peter saw Jesus, the miracle worker. And then on the mountain, Peter was with Jesus when Jesus was transfigured. He saw Jesus turn transparent with light, and he also saw two other men with Jesus. Elijah, who has not tasted physical death, he was taken up to heaven, and the other man was Moses. And there were two other witnesses together with Peter who witnessed Jesus' transfiguration. And they saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now all these things that we are talking about here, they are real happenings. They are not some Hollywood special effects. It is recorded for us. They are real things that happen. Amen. Now, none of us here were with Peter on the shores. We were not in that little girl's room, and we were definitely not on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured either. Peter got these experiences with the Lord, but he was writing to the people who does not have. And he said, having not seen Jesus, you love. You know, we haven't seen him, you know. But we love him. Amen. We love Jesus. Even though we have not seen him. And we love him not because we see him, but in spite of the fact that we don't see him, we can love him. And some people can actually make radical life changes for Jesus, even though they have not seen him. We are all making choices for someone whom we have not seen, because we believe him. Amen. We believe him. You know, the secular world, we have young people here. You know, the secular world, they write songs about people that they have seen. You know that there's this singer called Taylor Swift. You know, I think some of the youngsters know. Those who don't know, well, we know what age you are. But Taylor Swift, this singer, you know the songs that she writes? Every song she writes is after she break up with the boyfriend. She's writing songs about someone she knows. Something she has experienced. But our worship songwriters, they write songs about someone they had not seen. And they write beautiful songs. Jesus touched their hearts, and they sing about him. He touched someone in the body and healed somebody, and the person sing about him. And Holy Spirit gives inspiration to people, and they begin to write songs about someone that they do not know. I have a friend whose mother is illiterate. The old auntie, she's illiterate. She cannot read. She's never gone to school. But you know, Jesus taught her to read the Bible. Isn't it awesome? There are friends of mine who is not musically talented, never had musical, never go for classes, never learn how to play instruments. But they lead worship, and they play the keyboard. This is supernatural. It's the Holy Spirit anointing. Amen. And these are people who have been touched by God. We can love him even though we do not see him. We believe him. You believe him. Amen. So when you hear, when your ears hear something, like a bad report, bad news. And you look to the Word, and God says, by His stripes you are healed. You believe. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who makes the Word of God real to us. God can give you one word, and you can stand on it, and it can hold you up. Peter walked on the water at Jesus' word. Just one word from the Lord Jesus, come. And that word was able to keep him walking on that water. Until, of course, we all know when he looked at the waves. But if he keep his eyes on the Lord Jesus and keep standing on his word, he will be able to continue to walk on the water without sinking. The Word of God is able to hold us up. And so Peter says, and believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, unspeakable joy. This kind of joy comes with believing. It comes with believing. This is the kind of believing that does not depend on seeing Jesus. You don't need to see Him to believe. And this is the kind of believing that's not dependent on feeling. You don't need to feel that He is right there with you. You don't need to smell an aroma to know that He is there with you. This kind of believing will abandon you to what He says, and then you will experience unspeakable joy. You know, unspeakable joy means you cannot even bear that joy, you know. It's so great. You cannot stop smiling, even though you're going through some difficult times. You know, a lot of us, we go through difficult times. Sometimes you don't even have to open your mouth and other people from afar can tell you're going through difficult times. Well, that is not joy unspeakable. Amen. Your face can announce to the whole world already what you are going through. But it doesn't have to be like that. It does not have to be like that. You know, and sometimes, you know, when we go through, when we hear good news, we kind of, oh, we smile. Wow, that's good. Praise God. And then the next moment, you receive a bad news, and then your smile becomes a frown. Oh, dear. You know, and you know, there's a Cantonese saying that the frown is so deep, it can kill a fly, you know. Yeah, that's the Hong Kong way of saying, you know. So you go from, oh, good news. Wow. Then after that, not so good news, you go, oh dear, you know, you start frowning. So you go from this, and then you go to that. You go from this, and then you go to that. That is not joy unspeakable. That is not joy unspeakable. You go from, yay, wow, praise God. And then it is more, oh dear. Wow, your sigh is louder than your yay. You know, when Israel sent out the 12 spies to spy out the promised land that God gave them, Caleb and Joshua came back with good report, right? Oh, their report was so encouraging, you know. But the other 10 spies who went with them came back with a opposite report. They all went to the same place, you know. But they came back with different reports. The 10 spies that came back says that, oh, there are giants in the land and we are like grasshoppers in our sight. And the Israelites heard all these reports, they go from yay to oh, they began to be afraid, you know. And so when you have a promise from God and your promise is crawling with giants and you believe the promise, and then you say, but I don't see how it can be. It's so hard. I don't see how it can be. Well, I'm telling you that there is a fire that is going to burn away that but. That's going to remove this. Yay! There's a fire that will burn that away. And when you believe God, when He tells you That promise belongs to you. Like he told the Israelites, I have given you that land. Before they even step into it, he said, I have given you that land. When you believe the promise that God gave to you, just now the song says, all the promises are yes in Jesus and amen in him, right? But when you believe God, when you believe that he has given you the promise, and you say, I believe God, I believe Jesus, well, only with that kind of faith, then will you get that joy unspeakable. You simply believe him. Like Caleb and Joshua. They believe that. They know the giants are there. It's not that they didn't see the giants. They saw. They were at the same place. But they also saw the land as described by God. That was the land that God has given to them. And the giants are not going to keep them out because in their eyes, their God is bigger than all the giants of the land put together. Amen. How big is your God? You know, we can always drink somebody else's joy that spill over and we can rejoice with them. That is good. We can rejoice with one another. When we hear a brother or sister, having a breakthrough or victory or God answers a prayer, we rejoice with them. And that is good. You know, we can share that joy. But if you want that kind of joy in the middle of your weakness, in the middle of disaster, in that midnight hour when everything around you is so dark, when you want that kind of joy in your situation, the most challenging situation, it has to come from the inside of you. You cannot be just drinking from another person's joy. It must be your own joy rising up on the inside of you. And for that, you have to go through the fire. And there are two kinds of fire, like I mentioned earlier. And your faith right now may be tested by fire. And that test can be in a relationship, you know, or in terms of finance. In terms of, it could be in the mind even. It's a mental issue. Or it could be in the issue of your finance. There are so many areas, you know, where testings can come. And James said that when you are tested, do not say that you are tested by God. He said in James chapter 1 verse 13, let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. That word tempt is the word test. The testing comes from the enemy. And the way the devil designed tests is to fail you. It's not to pass you. The way the devil designed test is to destroy you, is to take you out of that race, wants you to pass it.